This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living. Rolling Stones. Fucking old school right there. I'm Luis Romero. I'm the Fuck Fentanyl guy. And this is the Fuck Fentanyl podcast. Today I got my friend and model, Sarah. How you doing?
I'm good. A little bit nervous, but excited.
No, it's all good. I'm the podcast cherry popper. I'll guide you through it. So Sarah, you are actually... my second normie on here. Mm-hmm. You don't have any problems with drugs or alcohol,
no,
of any sort. Mm-mm. But you feel very, very passionate towards people with drug and alcohol issues. You work in treatment.
Yes. Yeah. I identify myself more as a codependent.
Mm.
And that's my history is kind of like I had two parents who had addiction issues, and that's what really got my passion towards like working in the field.
I see. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're very aware of the fentanyl epidemic going on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I worked in detox and it was rough working in detox. Yeah.
Oh yeah. When did you start seeing the shift?
Well, I think I started in detox when I was in 2021. So I think it was like at the highest.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause I wasn't in like the field of addiction before that. So like I came in right when it was at the highest and it was pretty intense seeing like, precipitated withdrawal, like all of that.
Oh fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah. And, I just wanted to get to know a little bit about you too. You grew up right here in Chula?
Yeah. I went to Castle Park Middle and then Castle Park High School. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. I've been here pretty much since, I think I moved out here from El Cajon in sixth grade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of like when my parents' addiction got like really bad. Actually,
oh, really?
Was when we moved out here, yeah.
What were they doing?
So I grew up like from fifth grade and before in El Cajon, and my mom had addiction problems before that. Like I asked my grandma all the time, kind of like what happened when I was a kid, because I don't really know or remember a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was a meth addict and my dad was an alcoholic. Okay. And they separated when I was in fourth grade.
Okay.
And my mom was clean then. Like I remember my young childhood being like awesome and good. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember any issues. My dad was drinking then, but he hid a lot of his drinking, so I'd never really noticed until I got older. And then we moved out here when my parents separated, and my mom like started using prescription pills.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was in elementary school. And then my dad was started to drink a lot too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And this is getting more progressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, it got worse when I was in middle school. So, I kept a lot of this a secret. I lived with my mom, because I didn't want to get taken away because I was previously in the CPS system when I was a baby. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
And I knew that, and I didn't want to tell anybody like what was going on at home because I didn't want to get taken care of. And that was kind of like where my codependency like started. Yeah. You know, I was taking care of my mom, and I would come home with her to like pass down on the floor.
Yeah.
And I would have to make sure that she was okay. I would like pick her up and put her back to bed and just make sure she was still living. And yeah. It was like that from, I think that was like the worst, probably around eighth grade until my junior year. Mm-hmm. And I would stay with my dad on the weekends, and he was like fine. Like his alcohol, he was more like a functioning alcoholic. Okay, so gotcha, he didn't have like any issues. And then from my junior year, my mom's like addiction got really bad with the prescription pills, and she had to, she ended up getting let go from her job.
Oh, okay.
And then we ended up being like homeless, living in hotels.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was like my senior year. We were living at a hotel. I remember getting ready for prom at a hotel. Yeah. it was pretty cool like at the time, because I was right. like getting ready for prom at a hotel. But
right.
Yeah, it was.
They pulled up with a limo or
no. But I did have my own car. I was really lucky. I had my own car, so I was able to drive myself to prom, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is a flex right there.
Yeah. And you know, like throughout all of the things that I went through from middle school to high school, like my parents did their best, yeah. like the best that they absolutely could have, and I was grateful to have them for the time that I did have them. My mom passed away when I was 18. And
oh,
then,
God, really?
Yeah, and then my dad passed away when I was 23.
Oh, wow, really? Was yeah. it due to their abuse?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Thank you. But I really, like, am grateful. It took me a long time to get to a place where I'm grateful for the time that I've spent with them and yeah. for, like, the experiences that I've had, because if it wasn't for the things that I went through, I wouldn't be where I am today. And mm-hmm. I love working in the field, and I love working in recovery, and I love seeing people be able to overcome their demons to like get clean and just yeah. like continue. It's such a beautiful thing. And it really has healed a lot of my inner child, like being able to experience that at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, How old were you when you started working in the treatment field?
I always knew I wanted to work in treatment. I remember when I would be in high school, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to work in a rehab. And people were like, what?
That is an unusual goal yeah. for high school.
Yeah. I was like, I want to work in a rehab. And a lot of people were like, they didn't know like what I was going through at home.
Oh,
like,
see.
I was a triathlete. Like I went to, I like just did sports, and I was good at school. And I like, mm-hmm. I just indulged myself in that because I didn't like my home life.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I always knew I wanted to work in treatment. So after I graduated high school, I went off to college, I got my bachelor's, and then it was right after I graduated college in 2020. It was like during the pandemic, like
yeah, the
it
shutdowns
was, yeah, it was August of 2020, I think. 2020 or 2021, it was when things started to open up again, was yeah. when I ended up working at a behavioral hospital.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And I worked with people who had addiction issues, mental health issues, like all sorts of things. So from there, I was like, yeah, I want to be a drug and alcohol counselor. And I figured out how to go to City College and like get all of that stuff. And then that was in 2020. And then 2021 was... No, it was 2022 when I worked at Detox.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I was like, how old am I?
I could take a guess, but I don't know.
I was 23, because it was after, okay. It was right after my dad died that I started working in like Detox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So I was like 23.
23, wow.
Yeah.
That's fairly young
yeah.
to get into the treatment field.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. How do you like it so far?
I love it. I enjoy everything that I do. It was interesting moving from detox to an all women's facility because I was very scared of like working with all women.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like it's going to be drama.
Drama.
But for the most part, like I feel like they're my people. Like I love working with women so much. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Cause I too work in a treatment facility and outpatient. And it's more predominantly male because there is another branch of this facility for women and children. So typically, you know, most of the guys go to the one I work at, and then there'll be a few girls, and it could be dramatic sometimes. I often get problems more with the women than the men, but it's cool though. I really, really appreciate, you know, working in the field myself. You know, it's very different because like I've been a patient for treatments for, I'm going to say like 2 years, you know, of my life, you know, and behavior modification. And then I did an AA rehab, and then I did a halfway house and stuff. And so I'm very familiar with being on that side.
Yeah.
Very, very familiar.
Yeah.
So like, I, you know,
flipping a coin and being on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a trip. Like when I went to my very first group and I shadowed one of the counselors, I was like, God damn, I just feel so weird to dress like this, like a dress like a fucking PO and shit. And fucking, and just, you know, I'm here to try to help these people like in a professional environment. It's a trip. It's a huge fucking trip versus like, you know, going in there all begrudgingly like, oh, fuck, I have to be here.
I bet it's a beautiful experience though.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, one of my coworkers, I used to go to his groups back in 2014.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he still works there. And I was like, oh, fuck, I knew this dude. before, you know, because he's also in recovery and stuff. He's been around for a while. He's an old timer.
That's cool.
Really cool guy. But yeah, it's just funny though that, you know, to be on that side and stuff. It's really fulfilling. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's definitely a level of service into being in treatment, you know.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to become millionaires doing our job.
Yeah, you definitely have to love what you do to be in the field.
Yes.
I find it like really hard for me because like as a codependent, like I tend to want to be like the savior.
Oh, yes.
I have to definitely find a balance of like, okay, am I doing too much or am I not doing enough? And like finding that balance. But I think the more that I work or the longer that I work in the field, it's easier for me to like recognize like, okay, I need to let up on the gas and kind of let them run what they need to run because it's not I'm not their God, I'm not their higher power. Like they need to figure out what they want and I can give them the tools for that.
Right. How long is the facility you work at? Is it like a 90-day program?
Yeah, it's a 90-day program. Sometimes they could stay longer than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's not a whole lot of time, you know, to...
Yeah, it goes by so fast, but it's so cool to like be able to see the switch in them, like from when they first come in, like all beat up, and then when they leave and they're like so excited or nervous about like going to a sober living outpatient, it's like it's so cool. They come in as like, or they leave as a totally different woman.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that quite a bit. Working or not stop working when I was at the Freedom Ranch. When I was there, I was there a lot longer than I was supposed to. I was court ordered there to be there for like 120 days, and I stayed 8 months.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah. I didn't want to come back here. I was scared to come back to Chula Vista.
Yeah,
this is my neighborhood. And I had a lot of trouble, and so when I was at the Freedom Ranch, I would often like kind of like a lifer or someone doing a long term. It just was like, I see, you know, people come in one way and I see them go out another. It is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You see that a lot. And I saw that a lot being an inpatient, you know, just being a resident. You know, just observing and
all
stuff.
All your peers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There was a dude, like, I still remember this dude, like, looked like a straight, dirty, OB hippie. we're in Campo. Okay. It's like dirt. Everything's dirt and mountains and shit.
Nowhere.
Yes. And this fucking dude, he was so high on Molly and hallucinogens. He was like doing a snow angel.
Oh my god, tripping.
Yeah. Yeah. The dirt. Yeah, he was bad, dude. He completed and he like looked like a totally different human. Like so he was cool. Clean cut, fresh clothes. It was like, wow. That was one of the big 180s. I was like, God damn.
That's awesome.
So stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's where you really appreciate these programs, man.
Definitely.
You know, and I know there's like probably some shady programs out there trying to milk the system and stuff, but you know, it's funny because I've talked to several people throughout my recovery journey, and there are some people that have been clean. Like I can think of one person in particular. He's been clean for like 36 years, mm-hmm. and you know, his program that he went to was like super unconventional mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. You know, because he was like, he grew up in the East Coast and he grew up like lower middle class and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And he just, you know, his stepfather had like insurance like from the military. Yeah. So he just happened to go to one of these like bougie little
high-end rehabs.
Yes. And he says that that place saved his life. And, you know, it's not around anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with it actually. Even when I was using, one of my homegirls went there and she told me all about it.
Yeah.
And then I end up going to behavior modification.
Total opposite.
Totally opposite. I was like, oh, this ain't nothing like with this whole. I was like, what the fuck? I thought they were all the same. I didn't think like
there
are different approaches and different ways of treatment.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I didn't know about beans and rice and Jesus Christ. You ever heard of that one?
No.
It's like, it's called faith-based.
Okay.
And it's like, you're pretty much kind of similar to the Freedom Ranch. You're just out in the middle of the fucking nowhere uh-huh. with a bunch of, you know, if you're with the guys, you're with the guys, you're with the girls, you're with the girls. And you're like reading the Bible all day.
Oh, they're trying to like convert you?
Pretty much. Like, very, very, yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, that works for some people.
That works for some people.
Yeah, I know there's people in the prison system that convert, you know, while they're in there and they come out and they're like different. Totally different person because they found their higher power. So that's pretty cool. As long as it works for them.
It works for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody was telling me, I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm not doing that. For me. No, it wouldn't work. But, you know. Yeah, you know, I had indifferences about religion, but now I'm like, I'm much more open minded now.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's you know,
whole different subject.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but I would want to talk to you about you know, the fentanyl epidemic, mm-hmm. you know, because you have worked in treatment, mm-hmm. detox, so you're kind of like in the front lines.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty rough.
Yes. And do you know anybody that has passed away from the fentanyl epidemic?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know I know of one person that has passed away that I actually worked with.
Oh really?
Yeah.
A coworker?
He was a coworker for a little bit when I was working in detox and he passed away from a fentanyl overdose. Oof. Yeah. It was pretty sad. I was really shocked because I hadn't talked to him for a while, and then I heard that he passed away, and then I didn't realize until like I was like I saw a picture of him and I was like, oh wow, he passed away from a fentanyl overdose. Oh. So it was pretty sad.
Jesus.
But I've seen a lot of ODs when I was at detox and a lot of people that were withdrawing from it, and it was pretty scary.
And you had to personally Narcan somebody?
I haven't, for some reason, every time I was off, somebody OD'd.
I wasn't there.
I was like, okay. But it was,
They do not the best around when you're around.
I was like, okay.
Jesus Christ. Wow, dude.
I think the most craziest thing I've seen was I had a client come in and he was requesting to use his Suboxone. And I was like, I don't think you're ready to use it yet. Like, how long has it been? And it hadn't been that long since he last used. And he was like, I need it. I need it. And I was like, I'm not a doctor. Like, I can't tell you not to take it, but I recommend that you don't take it because you're probably going to put yourself in precip. And he ended up doing that. And it was a rough night. He ended up leaving. That's how bad it was. Yeah.
Couldn't take it.
It was really sad.
Wow. Oh, God, damn. That happens all the time, too. That's the sad part about it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, what are your plans for the future? I know you're barely young, and you're starting this journey into the treatment field. What would you like to do as far as your future goes?
So right now I'm actually getting my master's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm getting my master's in social work, but I want to actually start some sort of program down here in Chula Vista with like either high schools or middle schools of like some sort of preventative work for substance use, like as a social worker, to like education on like drugs and alcohol and all of the like things that can happen, but like in with kids, more of like preventative work, or at least kind of like catch them early,
in a sort of way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully,
that'd be really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I grew up here, so I mean, I know there was like the DARE program.
Yeah, but
and I didn't really,
those things don't work. No. Like you can't scare kids into not doing drugs and alcohol. If anything, they're gonna be like, fuck it, I'm going to go out, you know, and do that stuff. It's more like educational. Like, I want to educate them on, like, the harm that it has, like, with your brain. And, like, especially when you use at such a young age, like, you stunt your growth and your learning and everything when you start young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. I do think there has to be more done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was just thinking about like when I was working, I seen like one of my coworkers. I was working like at a fast food joint, and I seen one of my coworkers, like 18, like making the same mistakes as I was. You know what I mean? And she wanted to be in the gang lifestyle and the party lifestyle, and it's like I try to like tell her like, hey, look, you're going to be in a world of pain and you're most likely going to go to jail.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, but it's just, it's sad because like I could give her the verbals and stuff, but it's like they have to figure it out sometimes.
Themselves, absolutely, yeah.
You know, because her family was, you know, fucked off. Her dad was out of prison and mom was on drugs.
No, it's support. Like,
yeah. So I do wish that there was more of that. For you know, just for the youth in general.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you know they're in the front lines of the fentanyl epidemic.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no like, oh, I could
dabble in this.
Yeah. I could smoke a little weed here and like, you know, no, maybe you cannot. Maybe that shit's laced up. And you don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's scary.
Yeah.
I really feel fucking sorry for them.
Yeah.
You know, that they can't have that experience that I had.
Yeah, to be able to experiment.
Experiment and live carefree. It's just not that that's gone.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it's gonna be like that forever.
Yeah.
I truly do think that.
Yeah, it's because people want to make money and that's the way they make money is making the most addictive, deadly thing they can.
Yeah. Yeah, very similar to the tobacco industry.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's just, it'll just knock you out and kill you fast.
Yeah.
That's all. That's the only difference. But yes. God, and I really appreciate everything you do in the treatment field. And I appreciate you modeling for me. Killing. what else do you do outside of work and stuff?
I go to the gym. That's pretty much
obviously.
It. Yeah. So, since I'm in school right now, I just like, I don't really have much free time. But before I started school, I like to like do, like giving back. Yeah. So I would raise money to buy food for the homeless or get people to donate clothes. Like, I really like to give back to the homeless population, especially in San Diego. You know, that's someone's mom, that's someone's dad, that's someone's kid. And just do my best to make people feel like they're supported and loved. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man, and the homeless population is so out of control.
Yeah, it's really bad right now.
Whew. Have you ever done the beanies and bundles?
Mm-mm.
God, like me and, you know, and some of my friends, we get together and we'll like be posted up by the grocery outlet. Mm-hmm. We do it every few months. Honestly, I should try to get one together again. But yeah, we like get like food and like clothes.
Yeah.
And we just pass them out to people. And, you know, warm food and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It feels really good. It's definitely a really spiritually fulfilling service. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to, before I was in school, I would do like a really big one for Christmas, like in memorial of my parents.
Oh, nice.
And I would raise like money and then get people to donate food. And we would make like all these care packages with like socks, hygiene stuff, snacks. And then we would go around and like hand them out on Christmas Eve. And just like being able to like sit and talk to them and hear their story, like make them feel like a human because they are, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of the times they're just like, people don't even want to make eye contact with them, and it's so like messed up.
I totally understand, especially like when it's in some parts of downtown, it's like they kind of, there's so many of them, it's just intimidating.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I get that, but yeah, man, I definitely love to give back. You know what I mean? I never myself was homeless officially.
Yeah,
I definitely had nothing going on.
Yeah.
In my addiction, but
yeah,
you know, my best friend was homeless for many, many years. So he lived in the jungle before he died, and so for me, you know, I definitely like to try to help out.
Yeah.
That community as much as I can, you know. If, you know, if just one, you know, sees it and goes, you know what, like, I'm going to try to make something out of myself, and it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. But, yes, I really appreciate you coming on here.
Yeah, well, this was fun.
Different, huh?
Yeah.
And I definitely love to get, I love getting local Chula Vista fucking people on here.
Yeah, Chula Brip.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.